And good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. And tonight we are blessed with Gail Swanson, who is the author of Heart of Love, Mary Magdalene Speaks. Gail offers Mary Magdalene's divine messages through channelings, writings, poetry, and remembrances. Welcome, Gail.
Hi, Lori.
It's really great to have you. I really enjoyed reading the book. Actually, when I said we, I had a girlfriend who actually borrowed it before I even got a chance to read it, because she really connected with it. So it's quite lovely, and it's a lot of different writings and poetry, and it's a lovely weaving of a story that you've kind of come into remembrance of. So why don't you tell me a little bit, or our listeners, a little bit about your journey and how you got where you are.
Well, it started rather suddenly. I was very ill, and for many years actually, quite ill, and I had been meditating, and nothing really was going on. I was just kind of doing it to, for healing and relaxing. And this one day, I was just resting on my bed and meditating, and I suddenly felt that it felt like a wind was being blown into my mouth, and it was so strong that it was making me gasp, like I was, gasping in.
Mm-hmm.
And as that was happening, with each gasp of this wind, my arms would fly up and down off the bed. And as this was all happening, I started to see this movie. And I had never had anything like this happen before. And I was seeing images of Jerusalem back at the time of Christ, and I was like receiving this telepathic information. And it didn't go on very long. And then it was just as suddenly as it began, it ended, and I just sat straight up on my bed, and I said, and I had no idea why I said such a thing or where it came from, and I said, they gave me the breath of the Holy Spirit, which was like not my lingo. and then after that, all kinds of very interesting things began to happen, I also, actually, 3 days before that happened, I did go to an evening, a presentation of someone who had come to town, and I brought a very dear friend of mine. She was 90 years old, and she had lost her son many years before, and I thought he was a medium, and I went to bring her to possibly get a message, from her son. But it turned out that I had this very strong connection with this person. And I think that that sort of was almost like a catalyst. Something happened at that point in, being in that energy. And then, a couple of days later, this happened. And then I actually spoke with him after and was describing what had happened. And, he was a, psychic as well and a channel. And he confirmed everything that I had been shown. And he was the one that said, you have to start writing. And I hadn't never written anything, so, I sat every day. I thought I would, hear a voice or something, and, nothing would happen. And it just, this whole thing just kept unfolding and unfolding. And then I met someone who told me about the Shrine of St. Michael the Archangel, which was in a town not too far from where I live in Florida. And I had been to this town many times, and the shrine is sort of like a word of mouth kind of thing, so I didn't even know it was there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided to go visit the shrine, and the story was so incredible about the shrine. It was the story of a young boy who had been dying, and he kept telling his mother that he was seeing Michael the Archangel, and that Michael the Archangel told him that he would get well on a certain day, and that he wanted the mother to build a shrine to him. So the mother thought the child was just, hallucinating, so she said yes. And on that day and that time, the boy got up, he was perfectly well, and the mother somehow built this beautiful shrine right next to her house, and it's like this very modest neighborhood, and it's very tiny, And I walked in there. My whole family was with me, my children, my husband. And as soon as I walked in, I just got this incredible feeling. The energy in there is just, you know, unbelievable. And I just began to cry and cry and cry. And I really had no idea what I was crying about. And it wasn't immediate, but very slowly, but very noticeably, from that time on, from being in the shrine, I began to noticeably get better. And my symptoms started to just, you know, get better and better. And then the shrine also had to do with me actually learning how I was going to hear the messages that I began to receive, because I did return to the shrine with a group of women. And at that time when I was in the shrine, I actually started to receive the messages from Michael the Archangel. And because I started hearing, you know, something that was not in my own mind, you know, like it's kind of like I hear it in my head, but it's not, you know, like a booming voice or anything. And I received messages for everyone that day. So I think it was sort of like, you know, the shrine and Archangel Michael was instrumental in helping me to understand how I would be receiving it. And then after that, I did start writing every morning. And then it just started coming. Like, you know, I would just write and write and write, and I would not remember what I wrote afterwards. And then at some point, you know, I would read this, you know, read these writings to my friends and family, and everybody would say, oh, this can't possibly be just for you. And then I was just getting the guidance that, you know, I received many different types of things, and it wasn't actually just Mary Magdalene at the time, but she was the strongest to put it into book form. And so I did.
And what, I mean, this book is quite lovely, and it's really about the divine feminine, and certainly it's about Mary Magdalene. And it seems like there is an important time that we're all going through, and balancing out the male and the feminine and the masculine energies. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I feel, you know, I have really actually, you know, since writing the book, I have met so many people that are having these types of experiences, that are connecting with the energy of, you know, Mary Magdalene, and, you know, and the divine goddess, and all of these things, you know. And I do think that it is, you know, it is the time that we're living in. It's time that we must come back into balance, and the masculine and feminine must be brought back into balance, so that we can have, you know, peace and equality on the planet for all. And I just feel that, you know, I really think the spark is within everyone. You know, these divine beings are really working with us all the time. And I think if we're open, or, you know, meant to, you know, give a broader message or whatever, but I mean, I just think it's, you know, each one of us. I think really mainly what I've been shown over and over is that, is the importance of living it in your own life. You know, you can talk about this, you know, in a global sense or whatever, but the importance of having this balance in your own life, creating it in your own life, in your own home, with your own family, your own friends, and everyone. And that sort of radiates out, and I think actually helps to balance it in others that may not be in such conscious awareness, you know? So that's the way it's been really shown to me over and over. So I think that's really the most important thing, that we're all doing it in our own lives, and that will radiate out and continue to balance, you know, with everyone, you know, the women and men. You know, they need to acknowledge their, you know, their feminine aspects, and, you know, it's everything that's been discussed by everyone. But I really think the message that I've been given is the importance of that in our own lives.
Right. And so you talk about Mary Magdalene, the energy entering into our consciousness, our world, and our lives, and the rising of the feminine, which we were just discussing. So what does this mean to us? Like, how is this going to change? What is it going? How is it going to impact ourselves, the planet, our own consciousness? And then we'll get into relationships.
Well, I think that with everything being so out of balance, women are walking around carrying within them this suppression, this not fully acknowledging their power and their divinity. And this in itself is, you know, it has been devastating. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the masculine, which has completely taken over, is just is the reason that everything is so out of balance. You know, all of this throughout the ages, this energy has been perpetuated, and we are living within this suppressive energy. Mm-hmm. So when you think about it, I mean, that kind of imbalance and that kind of it literally creates all kinds of things that are happening on the planet, you know, now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in every way. So I think that it really is absolutely essential that we all work and acknowledge it and gather together. And, you know, there are all kinds of things to do to help to balance it, even meditating upon it, you know, anything and everything. And as I said, like in your own relationship, a male and female relationship, you know, look at all the relationships where, you know, that is out of balance, you know. Mm-hmm. So just, I think just the more that we do, the more that the women are moving into it, we are actually helping the men to see it and acknowledge it and become more of their own balanced masculine feminine, and then the relationships will be more balanced, and then, you know, we're going to have more peace in the relationships, which will, you know, vibrate out to creating peace on the planet with, you know, look at what's going on with the wars and, you know, everything. I mean, mm-hmm. It just affects everything.
Right. And of course, you know, we needed that masculine energy at a point that was to allow us to, you know, create communication and to create more structure. And I mean, there is obviously benefits to having the masculine energy, but because it was so outweighted and so one-sided, that's when the problems occurred, obviously. And, you know, what would you say are the qualities that the divine feminine are bringing into the planet?
Compassion, most of all. Loving compassion, unconditional love, and yes, of course, it's not, you know, the masculine role is equally as important, and I think that, you know, that's another thing, is that, you know, women have not been able to fully embrace their masculine, or mm-hmm. sometimes too much so, because of the way it's been so out of balance. So some of us are not using those masculine qualities as much as we should, and others have overused them. So, you know, it's just, you know, we keep, you know, we're using the word so much about the balance, but that really is exactly what the problem is.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. You talk about the Sacred Heart. How do we connect with the Sacred Heart? What does this mean?
Well, you know, I've also, you know, seen, you know, I think it's wonderful that so many people are, like, able to, you know, see beyond the veil in mm-hmm. every different way, whether you are a medium, whatever it is that you do. And they're, you know, those beautiful divine beings, which we are as well, are really helping us in such beautiful ways. And you can connect with them, you know, like there is, you know, no time, no space, and even in meditation. I mean, as you know, I do have some beautiful meditations, but, you know, they're kind of lengthy, but where you know, it is connecting with, you know, you have your own Sacred Heart, so you can do it with yourself, but, you know, it's a beautiful thing to even who you feel guided to connect with, you know, Mary Magdalene or, you know, the Christ energy, just that Sacred Heart energy, and to picture that beautiful Sacred Heart energy emanating out of them and into you and you into them and creating that conscious connection. But, you know, we're all beginning to really, as we balance, you know, our own Sacred Hearts are just growing and blooming, and we're becoming more of the divine beings that we really are.
So what is our Sacred Heart?
I think the Sacred Heart is I think the Sacred Heart is loving, compassion, unconditional love, and loving yourself before you can actually radiate that out to others. Mm-hmm. It's about loving yourself and your own, and recognizing your own Sacred Heart, your own divinity, your own capacity for, you know, all of these things that, you know, we're always striving for, but they are absolutely attainable. And, you know, I think that's the beauty of even the relationship of, you know, Jesus and Mary Magdalene, and how they were, you know, walking the earth. They were in human form, but they were demonstrating the possibility of human enlightenment.
Mm.
And, you know, that to me is the beauty of them. And I think it's very important. I just think that, you know, this is it's coming back to so many people. I mean, there are so many people across the planet that are connected with their energy that, you know, there's I think that's the reason. I think that's the reason to just remind us, and especially at this crucial time on the planet when everything is shifting and, you know, we're moving into a new dawning, that that they are the demonstration of what we are capable of as human beings, as divine human beings.
Mm-hmm. So our Sacred Heart then is the connection to our own spirit and our oneness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And oh, yes. Yes, that's true, too. And the connection that we all have with one another, yes, absolutely.
Right. And you talk about using breath to connect and hearing the voice within.
Yes, they talked a lot about the breath because, you know, that's, first of all, the way, that's exactly how it happened to me with the breath that was blown into me. And so, yes, there was a, you know, when I was writing, they were always talking about the breath and, you know, that we're not really fully using the breath. And with the consciousness of using the breath, and you know, they even spoke about the importance of thinking and feeling and breathing before you speak, and how that helps to connect you to your highest self, and that you will begin to speak in a, you know, in a more in a higher way.
Mm-hmm.
In a higher way, like if you consciously think about breathing before you even speak, instead of just, you know, you're just rattling off whatever it is that you're saying, you know, that was just one aspect of talking about the breath. But yeah, that's it's, you know, it, the breath is a way to connect us to the higher realms and to our higher selves always,
right? Which allows us to hear the voice. And, you know, we all have different ways of intuiting information. Some of us feel, some of us hear, some of us see, some of us taste, some of us smell. It's really quite unique how we're all very, very, very different.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. And and it all works together so beautifully. Everybody has a little something that they do, and we all exchange it with each other, which is so great.
Mm-hmm. Talk about what they meant about freedom.
Well, freedom to, you know, same thing, freedom to be your most divine self, freedom to be that which you were created to be, and each one of us to move into that as fully as possible to whatever that may be, in whatever is your mission, and, you know, that is freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And once you, you know, I think, you know, everything begins with yourself. You know, you have to begin with yourself, and then everything will, like I said, you know, will just keep vibrating out. And, you know, and freedom to be open to all possibilities and not be living in a little box that, you know, of little rules and, you know, because anything and everything is possible. I mean, the miraculous is happening now, even though it looks so dire on the planet. You know, there are so many miracles taking place all the time. And, you know, and I think, too, like, you know, it wasn't easy for me to, I don't know, I have a very outgoing personality, but when this all happened to me, I was like, oh, I thought, oh, my goodness, I can never even tell anybody. This is so, you know, people will think I'm crazy or whatever. But, you know, I just realized the importance of it and how much it meant to me when, before this ever happened to me, when I knew that there were other people walking around that were connecting to the higher realms, that, you know, it's so encouraging. It's so beautiful. It's so, you know, it's everything. Mm. So I felt like, oh, that meant so much to me. And if I have this message I'm supposed to give, then whether or not I'm afraid or, you know, or whatever, I will just do what is asked of me. And I just think that that's the beauty of everyone stepping out and doing whatever it is their part, because we all need it. And that connects us. So, you know, to it just connects us to one another. Every time that someone hears something someone else, you know, experienced or, you know, so I think that's it, too. The freedom of not being afraid to speak of your experience, to be who you are, no matter if it looks crazy, you know, to people. And because I have found all the fears that I had about this and about, you know, oh, you know, people reading the book who maybe are, you know, are not into any of this or open to any of this, and it's fallen into the hands of all kinds of people that absolutely love it. Because they can feel like the universal truth of it. They can feel it when they read it, even if they never even heard of, you know, channeling or, you know, whatever. So I find that it, you know, that is why it's so important, and it really is for everyone.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, as you were talking, you know, I've been talking to a lot of people lately about how, you know, as women, when we come in, you know, we connect in with the collective unconscious, which, you know, has shown us time and lifetimes of when we do step into our power, what happens to us. And usually what happens to us is, you know, we get burnt or we get murdered or, you know, something disastrous tends to happen. And so a lot of women are afraid of stepping into their power. And I mean, I guess this is the fear that you were talking about, you know, not only will people think you're crazy, but, you know, we've been persecuted many, many lifetimes for the ability to step into our power. Now, we've all been men and we've all had, you know, felt that power and probably abused that power. But as women, and if we're choosing to come into this life as a woman, then we have, you know, we have to sort of detach from the collective unconscious and really become very conscious about what our fears are and how to come into our power without thinking we're going to get persecuted or even, you know, the male dominated, which is, you know, to abuse the power.
That is a really good point, Laurie, because I know for a fact that that has been a great deal here that I have had to deal with, because I have had a very lovely life. My, you know, childhood was very good and all that. I would always say to myself, what is this fear that I have that, you know, it is no basis for? But however, yeah, I've had to work on a lot of those lifetimes myself, yes, and I think that is so common. We don't even realize that that is a tremendous fear that we're carrying, and that is why, that's exactly why we're here talking about bringing everything back into balance, because look at how women were persecuted, and it's absolutely the truth, and we are carrying it, and so there's a lot of work to be done. It doesn't happen in an instant. You know, I wish it did. But to clear it and clear it and clear it. I mean, I had something happen recently that I said, wow, I thought that, you know, I had worked so much on that, and I realized that, wow, here it is again. So it's an ongoing process. But I think, I do believe, too, that, you know, like I said before, pushing through that fear, even if you're still feeling it, you know, that is creating the freedom for us all.
Mm.
We just have to keep going, no matter if we feel fearful. We have to keep acknowledging, working on it, and it's a big issue. definitely.
And as you remind us in the book, and I think a lot of us who, you know, do meditation or do connect in, you know, we have a lot of help. We have a lot of guidance that is around us with angels and guides and, you know, the elemental realm. And there's just, you know, a lot of assistance, if we're looking for it, to help us.
Yes. And, you know, and one of the things that I was shown that's in the book is when I saw actually Jesus and Mary Magdalene standing, and I could see the rays of light showering down upon them, and that they could see it. They were aware of it when it was happening, and how this was showering them with all the divine beings, showering them with love and fortitude and strength and blessings and all that, and how it is happening to us all the time. We may not see it, but it's always happening. So, you know, just these little glimpses that you get are so beautiful and so encouraging and so worthy of being shared with one another when anyone gets a glimpse. I like to hear about it. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the divine feminine, it's connected with the moon and the sea. Why don't you talk a little bit about that? Because that sounds, I mean, we all hear it, but it sounds like you have a interesting perspective on that.
Oh, well, I will, how about if I read you what they said about that, which is
sure.
Really so beautiful. Okay, let me get it. Okay. This is from The Heart of Love. This is from Mary Magdalene. As women, we bring forth a great vibration. We are one with the energy of the earth, and within us lies the radiance and power of the moon. The moon is our sister. She rises sweetly and when all is quiet, and bathes the world with a delicate and nurturing light. There are those of you who have awakened to her embrace and connection to her. Spend time with her. Feel her energy resonate within you. Draw her in with the breath, with complete intention. There is much she will give you as you acknowledge her. Yes, we are the women of the moon and the sea. We are radiant and fluid, ever steady and ever moving. We are the mystery and the power. We are the wisdom of the ages. We are here now to raise the consciousness of mankind. We turn with the tides and welcome the change, for we have waited long and are bursting with truth and love. We will grow in number, raising our voices, as they reach the heavens and shifts are created from the sheer power of our feminine vibration. Come together and sing, for you will remember the song of your birth, and you will remember your sisters, each and every one. The separation created by man will no longer serve as in unity. Like so many who have come before, we glorify and sanctify and bless ourselves and one another. In the name of those who walk the earth in the most holy divinity, we bow our heads and say, yes.
You read that very lovely. That's a beautiful piece. I'm glad I brought that up. You know,
I love that. It's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned in there the song of birth, and, you know, the Africans or tribes in Africa, you know, often sing when a child comes in, and it is their song of birth. And
yes,
when they have problems throughout their life, you know, they get their community to come back and to sing the song so that they can remember who they are.
And I know, I love that.
And so when I heard that in that piece, it made me, when I read it as well, it made me think of that story. And you know, it's when you do connect, and I've connected many times, and I do, you know, a meditation with Kuan Yin, which is a very similar energy, more to Mother Mary than Mary Magdalene. But it's, you know, you often wonder why you would want to get out of that energy. And when that energy comes in, you know, it's so incredibly beautiful and so, like, you just, it's overwhelmingly beautiful, and you just can't imagine why you would want to get out of it. And yet we do, because life happens, and, you know, we live our life, and it just happens. But to get back into that place of true remembrance is so close, and yet we make it so incredibly difficult.
Yes, that's true. That's true. But it is exactly like you said. You know, why would you want to leave it? I never want to leave it. But we have to. Yes, we do. But I feel grateful that we can go back and forth, mm-hmm. and that it's always there, you know, because it's... You know, it can be challenging here,
mm-hmm.
but I have another little one that I think that goes with that. And
please.
this was one of the first little ones that I received. It's about the moon as well, and it's how I always feel when I'm standing under the moon, and I'm sure everyone does. On a dark and starry night, as I stand beneath the moon, I bathe in the light as I feel her soft embrace. When the moon calls my name and the world is ever still, my soul begins to sigh, and I remember who I am.
Hmm.
I like that one, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I studied with a Qigong master for many years, and one of the things, and I always tell everyone about this because I think it's so wonderful and I still do it, he learned from his master. He was trained from the time he was a small child, and that when the moon is full and you stand beneath the moon, you look up at the moon and you make a wish and you open your mouth and you swallow the moon.
Mm.
I love it. I do it every full moon. It feels great. Try it.
It sounds wonderful.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about memories of the beloved. Now, as you say, there are a lot of women who claim to connect with Mary Magdalene as with Mother Mary, as with Kuan Yin. I mean, there's a lot of divine feminine energy out there, and there's a lot of us that seem to, you know, resonate with certain aspects of it. What did this mean for you? What do you feel your connection? How do you explain it?
The connection with Mary Magdalene?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I'm telling you that this whole thing really came out of the blue, but I am so happy and blessed that it did, because I feel that she is just so full of wonder and majesty and loving compassion, all those things that we are, you know, striving to be and are. But, you know, it's just, as you were saying, you know, we wish we could stay there all the time, mm-hmm. but there's so many distractions and there's so many, you know. So I think just feeling that energy like you were talking about, it's like a remembrance. It's like a reminder. This is who we are. This is what it really mm-hmm. feels like when you don't have all of this, you know, going on and all the chatter in your mind, and when you're connecting with her, you know, or any one of these divine beings, but, you know, her in particular, I feel for me, I just feel that for some reason, I don't know, I was supposed to get my little message out that mm-hmm. she had just asked me to deliver this particular message, and I, you know, I've come across lots of people contact me, lots of women that have had experiences with Mary Magdalene, connections with her, and everyone has a different little role, you know, in some way. And, you know, I just always say, whatever it is that you're being guided to do, that's all. They, you know, they think, oh my God, what does this mean? It's so overwhelming. And I'm like, it is at the beginning, but then you'll start to settle down into whatever that is, that whatever reason that she came to you. And, you know, maybe it's just for your own, something in your own life, or maybe you are to deliver a message of some kind. Certainly she's, I would certainly say in my own family, she's certainly been a guiding light for all of us, all of us, for everything, because, you know, my children, my husband, all of us have, you know, been present to this whole process unveiling for me, and have all, you know, listened to every word that has come through from her. And it's been beautiful, healing, balancing, and enlightening.
Mm-hmm. You know, you use a term in the book called divine union, which is a term that I've used myself and have been talking about it for a long time. And, you know, the divine union is the energy of Jesus and Mary. And now there's a lot of controversy around whether that happened, you know, when the Da Vinci Code came out. I mean, there's been a lot of talk, and, you know, some people connect in with that energy and say, yes, that was, you know, I find actually very few people that say no, but of course there's still the religious aspects out there that, you know, want to not believe and have to believe a specific, you know, spiritual purity that Jesus was to uphold, and you know, the belief that Mary Magdalene was the whore that was in the Bible, which, of course, those are two completely different scenarios that were somehow mixed together. And but then they had to do that because a lot of religious teachings are to control and manipulate us. And if you were to give a woman that kind of power, and for women to, you know, start to stand in their power, then the masculine energy would be dropped, which, of course, our religious teachings are very much holding a masculine energy. And so they wouldn't be able to allow, you know, the divine feminine to come out and to be a strong figure, just like Mother Mary was to be a virgin. You know, again, a way to minimize, you know, a strong figure that they couldn't really deny in this case, because it was the birth, the mother who birthed. So they had to make it different than the way it really was. But, you know, talk about that union, because you have definitely connected in with that energy and the beauty of, you know, the energy of the divine union.
Well, truthfully, I love every bit that I received, that I put into this book, but I would say that is my favorite passage of all, and I would be happy to read it if you would like me to, because that I can't not explain it any better than it was given to me, of what their divine union is. So would you like me to read it?
Absolutely.
Okay. O divine union, O holy night, O the stars in heaven and the earth beneath our feet, hand in hand, electrified by love, two hearts beating in perfect unison, world out of balance, world forged by men, this union gifted to one another and presented to all who had eyes to see, meant to be known throughout the ages, to unify and glorify the truth of man and woman. We whispered our love, we cried out our agony, we dared to be the living, breathing truth of God, God within, pure, loving, eternal, brilliant and natural as the sea, the sky, the earth. Oh, dusty days and long internments, walking, speaking, touching, healing, living the golden way, expressing this divine energy to all, releasing it out into the cosmos to merge with all that is seen and all that is unseen, to remain as a sacred healing balm for all the world, for it is always shining there, for we understood that this was to be done. We understood that the day would come when the memory of this glorious union would be remembered by the beloveds. And as was done then, the spell of forgetting would be broken, and eyes would widen with wonder, and miracles would come, and love would burst forth, for the truest memory of love is everywhere and within everyone. We were guided by a power that connected us to one another and to every man, woman, and child. All felt this in our presence. Many were frightened, as they continue to be today. What is the fear of the power of love? What is the renouncing in the equality in all that is love? These fears are the fears of old. These energies continue to confuse, to nullify the truth. The truth lies within you. The truth is the guardian of the most holy. There is much more to be revealed, and the earth shall quake and the heavens shall roar. For the awakening must come, and love and truth shall reign. Quietly go within, feel every truth, for these acknowledgments are the jewels along the golden path, the pathway to peace and enlightenment. Do not look for greater truths until you have turned to your own, for one truth resonates with another, and the energies gather until the magnitude of the greatest truth of all is felt and lived. You gather as we once did. You speak of these things, and you remember somewhere in your heart the wonder and beauty of the paradise we brought to earth, our divine vow, our loving demonstration. Love is beautiful. Love does not hurt. Love rejoices for one another. Love is kind. Love is the force behind all that manifests in goodness and light. How do you live with a loving heart in a world of madness and anger and doubt? Through the light of Christ and the heart of Mary Magdalene. For he and I lived this love through unbearable trials, and I say to you it can be done, and I say to you it must be done. For if you have ears to hear and eyes to see, to accept these words, you have the heart to know the truth of all that is being brought forth. It does not take courage to do these things, it takes only love. For love is your natural state of being, and love is the creator of all there is. Gaze at the stars and you shall feel love. Swim in the sea and you shall feel love. Walk upon the earth and you shall feel love. Look into another's eyes and truly know love. I come at this time and place. I speak through her, my beloved counterpart, for she has allowed this memory so true. Only fear prevents the remembering. Only love can bring you back home. Home is the truth, and the truth is the light. The light of love in each and every heart. Look to one another, touch one another, hold one another in your wondrous embrace. Draw the light of heaven down through your head. Pull the love of the earth up through your feet. Feel these energies merge in the heart and release out through your hands the healing power of love. This is as it was, and this it shall be. Truth, remembrance, love.
Mm. Beautiful passage.
I love that one.
Mm-hmm. Well, talk about the Trinity, which was Mother Mary, Jesus, and Mary Magdalene, which is not the Trinity that we usually think of, or that the Church have us think of.
Yeah, they were definitely, I was shown they were definitely a trinity and I really love that because you have the two women mm-hmm. who were adoring each other and supporting each other in a role that sometimes now is looked upon as, you know, can be troublesome. But it just, everything that I was shown was that was like, you know, it was like the divine plan that just was, you know, beautifully played out. And that they, when Mary Magdalene came on the scene and really was now the beloved of Jesus, then the three of them, they worked together and for from what I was shown, it was quite magical, the what they would do together and what they were capable of creating with this Trinity and with this loving, unconditional three. It was powerful and beautiful. And I wasn't really shown specifically, you know, but I could feel the power of it when I was writing about it. And, you know, you really never hear about that, about the relationship of Mary Magdalene. You know, how would you? Because, as you said, they had to create this terrible scenario about her so that they could, you know, suppress her for good. And so you would not, you know, never hear about these things. And that's why I say, too, you know, it's so beautiful when these beings grace people on the planet now with their, you know, come through the veil and grace us with these messages so that we can, because, you know, we don't have the truth written. Mm-hmm. So we have to, you know, get it esoterically. Mm-hmm. And it was very beautiful. And I love that. That the two women, you know, the way that that unfolded and how they supported one another and how they adored one another, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's another great example of a divine union. Mm-hmm. You know, like as you were saying, you know, there were all kinds of divine unions, and that certainly was a divine union of the two women, and then the three creating that beautiful Trinity.
Mm-hmm. On Earth and the other being, you know, above, or just a different Trinity. I mean, there's no doubt that there is a Trinity between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's just different. And then on the Earth, we had the more physical and more compassionate experience or expression of that energy.
I've always been shown all different kinds of trinities, you know. Mm-hmm. Then they're, you know, because they're constantly, you know, moving in and out of these trinities, I think, and working with one another and with us, you know. Sometimes we're doing that ourselves with, you know, the divine beings. Maybe we're making our own little trinity that, you know, we may not even be aware of, you know. I've mm-hmm. seen many times, you know, the trinity of Christ and Magdalene and Michael the Archangel, which, you know, he's always played a big role in this from the beginning with me, and I see he's kind of like the overseer, and, you know, and actually, very interestingly, I recently received a series of meditations. I received one each day, 4 days in a row, and one of them, they're to be done as a series, because when you were talking about the Sacred Heart, the first one is actually called the Sacred Heart of Forgiveness, because, you know, it was being shown to me how, you know, the importance of truly, truly forgiving and how difficult it is for us to truly, you know, forgive. And what happened was each day that I was writing each one of these meditations, I thought I'd been working for a couple of hours, and on all 4 days, when I looked at the clock, the whole day had gone by, and I mm-hmm. never had this particular experience. I was like, where was I? And I realized that each of these meditations were actually taking you, they're not really meditations, I thought they were, but I'm calling them really journeys of remembrance, because they were literally taking you to beyond the veil to do this work at a very, very, very deep level, because it's so necessary now. And the first one is the Sacred Heart of Forgiveness. And then the next one, after you do the forgiveness, is Mother Mary's Consolation. And she comes and to console you for anything else that you are, you know, suffering with, any mm-hmm. kind of grief or, you know, whatever. And then the reason I mentioned it actually was because and then the next, and those two kind of go together, then, because you're clearing and all of that. Then the next one is Journey with Archangel Michael. And what that really turned out to be was actually taking you into remembering your own connection with Archangel Michael mm-hmm. from eons ago. And I thought that was like, you know, I was like, wow, I love that one. And then the last one is the Magdalene Initiation. And they all were like unlike anything I had ever received before. And I really think it's because of the way everything is shifting. You know, we're getting, everything's getting more intense, and everything, and the work that they're giving us to even do is becoming deeper and deeper. So, you know, they're very, very powerful.
Mm-hmm. And we really do seem to be coming into, you know, a new era where we will become balanced and we will come into our oneness, into our energy of being in the now and being completely present and without fear and in a state of love or joy or bliss or whatever it is that is the quality that we resonate most with.
I can't wait. Can you? I know. I know. I believe it is coming. I really do. But, you know, it's a lot of, there's a lot we have to do to get there, but I think that, I think we're doing it. You're doing it too, right, Lori?
Definitely.
That's what you do, which is wonderful.
Thank you. So do you want to talk about, you know, the information that you received about Jesus and his last days and the crucifixion and the anointing and the resurrections and the after? I mean, it's a story that we've all heard. We, you know, there are, there's lots of contradictions out there about, you know, whether he was really crucified or whether he really died on the cross or whether, you know, when he was resurrected, whether he came back in the physical. And, you know, there's a lot of information out there. You connected with an aspect of it, and I mean, it feels accurate to me. And there's a lot of information out there about Mary Magdalene having a child, and I know that there are people that connect in with that energy as well. And so there's a lot of different stories out there. Do you feel particularly connected with the information you received?
Well, yes, because nothing in this world seems truer to me than the experience that I had from that day that happened to me on the bed, and when I began to receive this information. And not only that, I was so, you know, this was so out of the blue for me, and I was, you know, so nervous about it and all that, that I would constantly receive confirmation in real time. Even when I wasn't even saying, you know, I would always get not one, maybe two, three confirmations that, you know how that is. Like, it's just like you say, what are the chances? This is impossible that this could be happening, and this is related completely to what I just received or whatever. But I didn't even need the confirmation. I just thought that they were so gracious and lovely to give them to me, because the experience in itself was truer than anything I've ever known. So for me, and I have to just trust that like I said, the information I received, I think, falls into the hands of whoever it's supposed to, you know, whoever is supposed to receive this information. Yes, there are all kinds of other things out there. I run across this thing about that he was not really crucified, or, you know, he, whatever. A lot. That's not the information that I received, and for me, this is the truth, because this is, you know, this is the way that I received it, and it resonates, you know, with me. So, and what I didn't even get into was, once this happened to me, members of my family, even my own children, like, began having all kinds of experiences that were, you know, unbelievable. And we all were getting the same sort of information. So we feel, yes, that, you know, yes, this is, you know, for us, the way it is. There are people that, you know, yes, they have it, you know. And then the other thing about, you know, whether or not they were married. Like, it seems like I didn't get any of that sort of controversial, like, were they married and, you know, and all of that. They just presented me with the relationship. So to me, it didn't matter.
Right.
You know, everybody has to know whether, you know, and, you know, maybe it's important, I don't know, but they just presented me with the feeling of that relationship, which was, you know, which was, I mean, I can't even tell you how that felt to see it and feel it when I received it. So, and it was like that all the way through. What did I get about the, you know, the crucifixion, you know, the men left, the women were still there. They literally supported him energetically through it.
Right.
And, you know, there are other books that go into that in, you know, more detail, I think. But, you know, I got the essence of it. I think that, you know, my what I received is actually, you know, you read the book. It's kind of, it's very simply put. But you can, when people read it, they can feel it. They can feel it. So it's for everyone to decide for themselves what they feel when they, you know, read this kind of thing. But I think that it's a great opportunity to go beyond what we've been shown and what we've been taught and get the essence, you know, of all of it, of, you know, their relationship, the times, you know, that's really what I would say about that. But
And as I like to remind women, you know, we're moving into experiencing our own divine unions. And yes, of course, the first divine union has to happen within before it can be experienced outside. But, you know, we are working towards creating those balanced relationships and ones that, you know, where there is a spiritual connection as well as a sexual. Like, it's, you know, there's so much that through fear and through manipulation and control and the masculine energy that we've been so repressed with regards to what a full relationship would look like. And we have, you know, very few examples, but with your book, you know, we're allowed to feel the type of true divine union that can occur, that did occur through Jesus and Mary.
Yes. That's really, you know, there's several messages within there. You know, it is the Mary coming, it is the Magdalene coming to, you know, help us remember our own, you know, divine feminine and all that. But it is very much also about the balance of that relationship. And it also does, you know, they also do talk about, and it is in the book, about other divine unions, like you were saying, you know, that all divine unions should come out of the shadows and be acknowledged and blessed, for each divine union is beautiful and loved and blessed. So I love that.
You know, we're getting to near the end, but is there anything in your book that you would like to read to us or express to us that we haven't spoken about?
Well, no, but I can read a little prayer for closing.
Oh, that would be lovely.
Okay. This is kind of at the end of the book. Amazing grace, fill me and save me from all of my doubts and all of my fears, from all my cautions and all my misgivings, from all that holds me in bondage here. Amazing grace, open my heart and help me to feel the light within. Lift me and guide me, strengthen and find me. Comfort me now in my yearning for home. Amazing grace, carry me forward. Illuminate all so I may reveal my soul and calling, and my true longing, my desire to be pure grace unfolding.
Beautiful. Well, Gail Swanson, it has been a great pleasure and a great honor to interview you. Why don't you tell people how they can get a hold of you and what you're doing right now, which it seems you're doing some meditations. Are you getting them out to the world? How can people get a hold of them?
I just received these very recently. I am giving my first workshop actually in Sarasota, Florida, Friday evening, May 15th, and Saturday evening, May 16th. And I am thinking about possibly doing, maybe doing them as a teleconference. I'm kind of just working things out right now because they're just brand new, so I'm going to kind of give it a trial run at the workshop. And so my website is www.theheartoflove.com. I have several other meditations that are available on the website. The book is available on the website, and there are many messages on the website that are not in the book. And people can email me. I always email everyone back, and love to hear from everyone. So that's it for now.
Okay. Well, you know, I'd love to have you back, and if there's any way that Intuitive Soul Radio can help you get some of these meditations out, or you know, work in some way to create this, I would love to assist in any way. But it's been a great pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Lori. It was wonderful. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And okay.
All right. And we'll be back on Thursday. Thank you.
Okay.